Thank you very much, and welcome to warm, sunny Florida. We're about the 14th largest cotton-growing state in the United States, and we're actually ended up being 13th this past year after Oklahoma and ended up losing about a third of a million acres. I would also like to recognize the other cotton specialists who provided me information about their parts of the country. The information and problems were so bad this past year that I'm only going to be able to cover just a few. So the ideas and information here are not mine, so if you see anything that's wrong, just go to the specialist from that state. We did start the year with high expectations going into 2011, and it went even higher as we went into planting time. And a lot of this was because of the price. At the end of the harvest in November of 2010, we had cotton prices that were above $1.50 a pound. Really unbelievable by most growers. So we did have a projection that cotton acreage would increase. The price did keep increasing on up until March. We had a historic high of about $2.27 a pound, which is unheard of. If you look at the graph in the bottom part of it, the historic price of cotton from 1991 through 2011, we did have a couple of years during that period that cotton hit a dollar or slightly more than a dollar a pound, but nowhere near compared to what happened this past year. We were projecting that we were going to plant about 12.6 million acres of cotton. We ended up planting 14.7 million acres. We ended up, the harvest was about 5 million acres less. So what happened, if you look at the past 20 years, we do lose a million acres or 2 million acres at times, but this was kind of a historic event as well. We lost about a third of the cotton that was planted during this period of time. The average yield is projected to be right now about 771 pounds per acre across the U.S. I know there's a lot of folks out in Texas and Oklahoma that probably don't believe that, but that's where it is right now. The total bales produced this year are about 2 million bales less than 2010. Even though we did end up planting about quite a bit more cotton than we did in the past. This kind of gives you a picture of what happened across the cotton belt. The upper right-hand picture shows cotton, if it was not under pivot in many cases, it didn't germinate. Just a lot of poor stands on non-irrigated fields. The upper left-hand corner, Bird's Point, I think it's called. Is that it? That was blown up a levee that really did a lot of damage to farmland. We had hail storms. We had sand storms. We had floods along the Mississippi River. The picture in the middle, we had a lot of late-planted cotton that ended up starting to bloom in late August and early September that the frost ended up getting in many different places. So the next series of slides pretty well tells you what happened across the cotton belt during the growing season. If you look in May, the soil moisture that was available at that time from the deep south across through Texas and Oklahoma was already seriously low during that period of time, whereas the mid-south, Tennessee, Missouri, Arkansas, were actually wet from the floods. And as David showed earlier, that the La Nina effect was in place. Temperature, even though April was above normal across the Cotton Belt, the when we got into May, it turned back to about a normal or maybe a little bit cooler. You can see Texas is starting to heat up a little in May. As we get into June, the soil moisture deficit continued to increase up into the Carolinas and Virginia. You see the center of the dry soil area, again, is in Texas and Oklahoma. Temperatures, same effect. During June, we started to heat up across the Cotton Belt, except for Arizona and California, which were cooler than normal. We go on into July, and we see a very similar thing, just relentless heat and no rain, and we continue to suffer and not get stands up. The temperatures across the eastern part of the two-thirds of the U.S. were way above normal, 4 to 5 degrees above normal in the Texas-Oklahoma area, but hotter in general all across the belt. As we get into August, we really don't see much change in soil moisture. Our temperatures all over the Cotton Belt then increase, but again, you see the Texas-Oklahoma area really was baking by this time. Then we got into September, the last few days of August. A tropical storm came in through Louisiana. You see that it relieved a lot of the soil moisture deficits up through the Mid-South, Tennessee, parts of Arkansas, Mississippi, and Missouri. 2 or 3 days later, a hurricane hit into North Carolina, which essentially laid down a lot of their cotton in early September. Did relieve the moisture problem, but too late then. It did. Virginia was wet. Parts of South Carolina got rain. Actually, about the same time, another tornado or hurricane came into the southern part of Texas, but as it slammed into Texas, Texas was baked hard. And within about 10 miles of the coast, essentially the hurricane dissipated and even very little rain. And you see there was no relief in soil moisture. If you look at the paths of the tropical storms and hurricanes at this time, you see that most of them did stay out in the Atlantic, which is typical for a La Nina year, according to David. And usually the Gulf Coast is impacted more by tropical storms than they were this past year. As of 2 weeks ago, even though we have gotten a little bit of rain, we're 30 inches behind normal in Florida. The whole Southeast and Texas and Oklahoma are still in a exceptional drought. It does not look good to me for a La Nina year going into planting cotton. So hopefully we'll get some fronts or something that comes down and relieves the moisture deficits that we have. As far as what was planted, upland varieties in the U.S., Delta Pine, Fibermax, Phytogen, Americot, Stoneville accounted for about 95% of the cotton acreage. Several other companies do play a significant role in the cotton in different areas of the U.S. To look at the different regions and what happened in the Southeast, Georgia is the main player with 1.5 million acres of cotton. Quite a bit of that is irrigated. Their yields were the highest of the Southeast because of that. You notice that North Carolina's yields are down, and a lot of that is due to the hurricane that hit right at the beginning of September. Alabama's yield is really pretty good, and a lot of that is because of good weather conditions that occurred in the Tennessee Valley in the northern part of Alabama. As far as cotton varieties that are planted in the southeast, Delta Pine, Phytogen, Fibermax, and Stoneville account for the majority of the varieties planted there. So what happened in this area, in Virginia and the Carolinas, we didn't have Timic this past year, so growers look for a lot of different things to try to replace it and to get stimulate early growth. Some people had problems with starter fertilizers and different things, lost stands. Again, severe drought through the area until early September. They did have a late top crop after the storms came through. A lot of people tried to defoliate to get the cotton to stand back up, and then all of that fertilizer that was in the soil, the cotton started growing again, so it had a lot of regrowth issues. Palmer amaranth problems, labor issues with hand pulling, and many growers are looking at technology, and that's driving their variety selection. Was some potash deficiency and leaf spots. As far as Georgia, Florida, Alabama, and the southern part of South Carolina, essentially dry through the spring and summer and fall, still is dry in many areas. North Georgia and the Tennessee Valley of Alabama had relatively good moisture. Again, Palmer amaranth control in a dry year is difficult. Herbicides just do not work that well. In general, there was low pest pressures, some extremely high yields with irrigation, some 4.5 bale cotton in some areas. Mid-South, even though they had a lot of problems, generally had some very good yields, about 2.5 million acres there, but each of the states did very well, even with late planting. The main varieties being grown in the Mid-South, Delta Pine, Stoneville, and Phytogen constitute the majority of acreage being planted. Tennessee and Missouri, generally, the problems they had, they had droughts, but then floods throughout the season. During the mid-season, they had pigweed, plant bug problems. Later on in the season, continued fighting pigweeds and above average heat units. Did have good harvest period and generally good yields and grades. Arkansas, again, they had a rough spring with record flooding. They had wind, sand, hail. Heard rumors of an earthquake even, so they had it all. A lot of late planting, a lot of replants, and in general, we had a lot of replants this year because of the drought. During mid-season, again, had record heat up there with pigweed problems, heavy worm pressures. Cooler than normal in September. If you remember, did have the tropical storm that came up through that way. Upper bowls did not mature that well. In Mississippi, again, historic river flooding, cool weather at planting. They had extreme heat that started in June, lasted through August, had plant bugs, 4 brack squares, plant diseases, more resistant weed problems, but generally good harvest conditions with some rain. Louisiana had good moisture at planting, but was cool, had some thrips damage. Hot and dry for the remainder of the season. Some broken levee problems, but enough timely rains to make good yields. There was some potash deficiencies that showed up, leaf spots, but again, pretty good harvest. In the Southwest, in general, the yields were not that good. And as you saw earlier, they were in record heat and drought. Main varieties planted in the area, Fibermax, Americot, Delta Pine, Phytogen varieties, Dynagro, Stoneville varieties. If you look on the high plains, what happened there, the planted acreage, there was about 4.6 million acres planted, but over 60% of that was abandoned. Over 2 million acres of non-irrigated cotton out there never emerged, so major problem. If you look at the heat unit accumulation through that period, May through July, much above the long-term average. Then going on August through October, a very similar trend, much above average heat unit accumulation. Long-term average for rainfall, they were about 14 inches below normal for the long-term average. You see, essentially through October, they only had 4 inches of rain the entire season. Weather extremes, if you look at the average high for June, July, and August, it was about 100 degrees throughout that period of time. You could pretty well throw Oklahoma, their data, Kansas, into the same thing that happened on the high plains. Oklahoma did end up planting about 415,000 acres. And the last that I saw, they harvested about 100,000 acres of cotton. Even the irrigated, there was not enough water to mature it. It had drought and heat throughout the entire season. Broke a lot of long-term records for drought and heat. And perhaps the yields were going to be even lower than projected. South and central Texas, early on, plant a little bit earlier in South Texas, but widespread rainfall at planting, excess moisture, crop development was slow because of that. Did have good growing conditions in June, but some moisture again in July with some flooding, and then it turned off dry during August with some stink bug flea hopper damage, but again, good harvest conditions. If you're going to grow cotton, grow it in the desert. They don't seem to have the weather problems if they've got irrigation. And they made very high yields in California and Arizona. The upland cotton varieties planted, Phytogen and Delta Pine, Fibermax, Stoneville are the main upland varieties. The Pima cotton varieties, Phytogen, Delta Pine, and Hazara varieties are the main ones planted. Generally good planting conditions, but cool temperatures through most of the summer. Was some bollworm, ligus bugs. They had good contracts on the Pima cotton. In conclusion, it was a tough year for most of the cotton belts at one time or the other. The drought still continues in much of the deep southeast and the high plains of Texas and Oklahoma. About 5 million acres were never harvested. Cotton at 90 cents a pound is still attractive to growers, especially with high-yielding varieties that we have now. And new technology that's coming on to fight weeds. Maybe a controversial statement too, but there may be some Aldicarb that would be available for the 2012 season. I've heard started to pull that statement out, but there is more infrastructure in place for corn and other grains in the Mid-South. Corn, soybeans, and peanuts are all, there's still a very competitive price to cotton at 90 cents a pound, so I don't know what's going to happen to the acreage. In 2012, again, we're concerned with the La Nina, what it's going to do to the southern part of the country. Irrigation water availability, controlling Palmer amaranth and other resistant weeds, the labor concerns, diseases, what's going to happen with the farm bill and many other things. So I think there's going to be a lot of people that will remember 2011, and with that, thank you.